Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy. My name is Peter and joining me today is Andreas.
Hello.
As usual. Welcome to the podcast where we tell stories, we give bad advice, and we tell bad stories and still give bad advice. We are your two astute and adept hosts this fine episode. We have no idea what we're talking about or what kind of advice we're giving, but we're going to do that anyway. How the heck are you, Andreas?
I'm good. It's been, not to be the person that talks about the weather right away, but it's been pretty warm lately, and I really am just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying the warm, sunny days.
See, it's been, like, not exactly warm up here. It's been cold, to put it frankly. But
I actually think
it hasn't been dumping snow either, so I can't complain too much.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's really funny because when it's summer and it starts turning winter, around 45 degrees, I have to get the jacket out. But when it's winter turning into summer, I ditch the jacket at about 45 degrees.
Yeah, because now you're used to it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel that way too. It's quarter zip season in the 40s.
It's quarter zip season.
Oh, yeah. This week on the podcast, I tweeted out some philosophy type questions, some like deep inner thought level type stuff.
Yeah.
We might get to that. We'll see. We got a lot to cover before we get to questions this week. The first of which being a story of the week. Andreas, you mentioned to me last week, just in passing,
yeah,
that you had an eye patch in preschool. Do you want to?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you want to share?
This is the story of the week, like 19 years ago.
Wow.
1 week and 19 years ago. No. I had bad vision when I was a kid, when I was in preschool. And apparently their solution for my astigmatism at the time was to give me an eye patch on my strong eye. So that, like, the idea being that, like, your weak eye gets stronger because it's the only eye you're using. At least I think that's the philosophy behind the eye patch.
What kind of pseudoscience optometrist were you seeing?
Listen, it was the science of the time, okay? Now kids just have those, like, shitty plastic glasses.
Yeah.
Where they're probably, like, rubber silicone or something. But, yeah, no, I had an eye patch, and it wasn't a cool pirate eye patch with the strap, because you can't trust kids not to fuck with it. So they gave me basically a giant Band-Aid, and you like close your eye and like stick it over your eye, and it's like eye patch shaped. And it's adhesive, and it comes with like cool things on it. Like I probably had like a Spider-Man one or whatever.
That sounds
awful. Yeah. And you'd have to like rip it off at the end of every day.
Oh my God. All I can think about when you describe this is when you're playing like Animal Crossing and you get stung by bees and you have to wear this stupid Band-Aid over your left eye or whatever.
Yeah. Like, same thing.
Wow.
Yeah. As far as I recall, that didn't last very long before I just went to wearing glasses full time.
Yeah,
or it might have been a thing of like, I wore the eye patch sometimes and glasses sometimes.
So did you ever get made fun of? Or was it like a status thing? Like it was cool that you were the eye patch kid, if you remember.
You know, I don't remember really well. The things I remember about preschool was that for some reason, I was like very scared of going to preschool. I don't remember why. Or like what the reasoning behind that was, but I remember that I would stay very close to my preschool teacher, whose name evades me at this current moment in time. It was something like Miss Jennifer or something, like something very standard. Anyway, I would stay very close to her at all times, and I would like hug her and like like hide behind her and stuff. But I also remember that we had a class rabbit and I was sort of allergic to animals. Oh, I still am kind of allergic to animals. And so then it was like this whole other issue of me like having severe allergies in preschool. And I just remember being a problematic child.
But like, not because you were problematic, is because problems sought you out.
Yeah, I was blind, and I had allergies, and I also had to take an inhaler around with me. I had a lot of issues.
Wow. Dang. That's insane. I didn't go to preschool. I went straight to kindergarten.
Okay.
No preschool for this big man. That's why I was older than everybody else in our grade in high school by like minimum 6 months.
Makes sense, I guess. So, preschool is just professional babysitting, I think.
Oh, totally.
I'm sure you learn some things in preschool or whatever, like how to interact with people.
Yeah, I think it's a social thing more than anything.
Yeah, but it's not like you're learning valuable skills in preschool.
God, no. Wow, that is quite a story. Yeah, I got glasses in third grade.
Okay.
Where my teacher at the time noticed that like I sat in like the third row and that I was like squinting and like really struggling to read the board, so she made me switch to the front row. I thought I was in trouble for whatever reason, but then suddenly
might as well have been
and suddenly I started doing better in class and not like squinting and leaning forward as much. So then she called my parents and they took me to the eye doctor and they're like, yeah, this kid's blind, how did he make it this far?
Is the eye doctor not just like a required thing? Like, I know it's not required, but how do you not just, I mean, I guess if you see fine and it doesn't seem to be an issue, you worry about it.
And in the elementary school I went to, we didn't do the regular like hearing sight tests that apparently a lot of other schools did. Like, I know we did them in like middle school and high school, but apparently a lot of elementary schools did that too. Mine did not. It was it was a dog eat dog world.
You know what's actually funny about that, now that you're saying it to me now, is like they gave us these seeing tests and hearing tests in high school where you had to do the letter grid, and then the hearing test was interesting because they'd play tones in your left and right ears and you'd have to identify when they're going off and stuff. I don't feel like very many people make it to high school, and then you're like a junior in high school, right? You're like 17 years old. You're like, holy shit, I didn't know I couldn't hear out of my left ear until the school mandated hearing test.
Discover you're deaf. Oh my God. Or blind, right?
Why did they make us do that?
I don't know. Maybe it had to satisfy some kind of
state requirement
or something. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, you're
right. That's actually so stupid.
What a waste of time. And it would always happen like in the middle of the day, like you're in math class, like halfway through a lesson. And then over the intercom, it was last names N through P to the cafeteria for hearing and eyes checked, please. And you're like, God damn it. I was about to learn about X equals 2 on a graph.
Yeah. And there's like some dude with like a Soviet era sound testing equipment, and you put on these giant headphones.
They looked like the type of headphones that like helicopter pilots wear. Just like really like squished your head and wildly uncomfortable. Yeah, it was terrible. And they gave you a little clicker.
Uh-huh. It's bizarre all the way around.
Yeah. Wow. That unlocked like a core memory for me.
We even had to do that.
Yeah, and it was every year. No, it was twice a year. They did it like once a semester.
Yeah, like as if you're going to go blind between the last time they were here and this time.
I don't know, man. There are a lot of kids that would just stare at the sun, I swear. Like, actively trying
That's a good point.
Get cataracts.
It seems weird for us, probably, because
we've been blind for ages, as long as we can remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why. We know the pain of going to the eye doctor and getting that little puff of air blast in your eyeball and you swear it does nothing.
Oh, I hated they don't do that at my eye doctor.
They don't. Like, okay, so when I moved up here for college, I had to go to a new eye doctor, and mm-hmm. they still did the ocular pressure test like that. And I was like, God damn it, I can't believe I have to live with this for the rest of my life. But then I went to a different one most recently last year, and they're like, oh yeah, nobody does that anymore. I'm like, what the hell have I been doing? Putting up with this old technology? Anyway.
Yeah.
It turns out they can just shoot a laser at it.
Not even like you had to do it. Not even that you had to do it that often, but it just kind of sucks every time.
Oh, every single time. It was the worst. And the anticipation.
Keep your eye open.
Yeah. When you can't, because you're scared of the puff of air, they're like, just focus on the hot air balloon. And you're like, no!
This hot air balloon has betrayed me.
It's a stupid hot air balloon, man. Anyway. Nice. What else is new? What's new in your life?
Not much. Just enjoying the post-holiday sort of calm.
Yeah. You know,
there's this period from sort of now through 4th of July. I realize there's other smaller holidays and stuff, but
no,
sort of now through
mean,
summer yeah. where it's just like there's not much going on.
Kind of
relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big one's Easter.
What about you?
Yeah.
Got some new
big
stuff.
News in Peterland. Your boy got a new car. Last weekend.
Nice.
Last weekend? 2 weekends. I don't know.
Within the last several days.
Yeah. Within the last month. Since the last episode. I got a new car. And I've decided that I'm going to splurge on a vanity plate. However, I don't know what I want to get. And I have a running list.
Do you? So is it, how many characters is it?
So with the style of license plate I want, I'm limited to 6 characters.
Okay.
Which has made it difficult. However, my front runners right now are Zesty, Crikey. this one Maddie suggested, which I'm a big fan of, Spinch, like spinach, but Spinch.
Spinch.
And then I was talking to a coworker at work today. This one really got my goat, and I might just go for it because it's absolutely hilarious. So I was like, man, how many letters is squeegee? It's way too long. It's 8 letters, turns out. But I could get squeeg.
Squeeg.
Or, you know, if you read it correctly, it's still you can still read it as squeegee. Anyway.
Can you do squee-g?
I would only be able to do one E.
S-Q-U-E-E-G. Yeah, you're right.
I know. But squeeg.
Squeege.
Yeah.
Oh, squeeg, yeah.
Or if you're smart, you read it squeegee. Yeah, I don't know. It just really, it made me laugh today. I was having a good time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have like many good ones off the rip, but.
I've been trying to compile them and I have. A few more weeks before I actually have to go and, you know, order the plate and get the official registration and all of that. But it's been tough. 6 characters is kind of a bitch to work with.
I like the idea of doing a 5 character word, but just like adding an extra vowel, like speed.
Well, that's so zesty is only 5. So I could do zesty.
Zesty or zesty.
Or zesty, yeah.
Well, you could do swoop.
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 Oh, welcome to Licensed Therapy, where we just make noises at each other. Swoop.
Swoop. That's the best 6-letter word I could come up with, was a 5-letter word with an extra vowel.
With an extra O. Oh, man. Here we were talking about Wordle last week with only 5 letters, and here we are with 6, and we're just being idiots about it.
Wordle should release, like, there's already a hard mode in Wordle, actually.
I saw that, yeah.
But they should release, like, 6-letter Wordle.
Yeah, well, have you seen Absurdle?
No.
Absurdle, much like Wordle, you have a 5-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
And you guess the letters and it tells you what's in it, whatever. But crazy thing about Absurdle is that the AI is programmed in such a way where it mathematically determines the most difficult word for you to guess based on your guesses.
Oh, that's
awful.
And
you can never get it right in your first two guesses because it's trying to figure out what would screw you the hardest. But you have unlimited tries. But my first attempt at it was like 17. And it was an absolute nightmare. I had no idea how, like, I was running out of letters so quickly, and I was like, why is this so hard?
Yeah, that's unnecessary torture.
It was, but I had a good time in doing it.
Someone on the internet I was reading today mathematically figured out the most advantageous first word in Wordle. I think it's crane, based on orientation. Yeah, based on orientation and like letters and stuff.
I know a lot of people start with adieu, you know?
Yeah, that's what my friend
does.
Just
to kill all the vowels immediately.
That's stupid. That's a stupid strategy.
Yeah, I mean, that's for the weak-minded, you know?
I try to get rid of like T's, S's, and R's.
Yeah, I go Wheel of Fortune on it. R-S-T-L-N-E.
There you go.
I try to bust out
the strategy
words that have those letters in the first two, and then I always go for three. I never try to get into. I did once, and that was such a power trip. I felt like a king for the rest of the day.
I can't imagine the rush of euphoria getting it in one.
I don't even want to know. I could die a happy man.
I would probably stop playing, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
What are you playing for?
If you legitimately get it in one, then you can just stop playing. Like, you've done it. You've made it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure it has, but like, I don't even know what, somebody would have to pair the word list because that's out there and the odds of guessing it first try being 200 and whatever days into it. Anyway, yeah, I don't want to know the stats. In other news, I was perusing around. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast today at work. And that compelled me to look up hours, and I was like, oh, cool. Look, it's us. And my go-to is Spotify.
Yeah.
For my podcast listening, but I was like, I'm curious. So I looked, I downloaded Apple Podcasts and looked it up. I found out, and I think we talked about this like right at the beginning when we were starting the podcast, but there is another unlicensed therapy podcast out there.
No.
Yeah. And instead of just unlicensed therapy, I'm going to straight up call this person out. Hold on. Let me pull up Spotify, but of course it has to update.
Is it a famous person?
No. Well, I mean, marginally more famous than we are.
Okay. The delta between our fame and famous person is basically the entire spectrum minus a little.
Yeah. Okay. So the other unlicensed therapy is Unlicensed Therapy with Ari Manis.
Okay.
And Ari is like, hold on, a lot of episodes in. Like, Ari's been doing this for several years at this point.
Huh.
So I felt a little bad because I was like, are we stealing this unintentionally from Ari? I don't know. I didn't listen to it. I just saw the name. Which made me wonder, we're still pretty early. We're not even in double digit episodes at this point. Is there a chance that we change the name?
I'm going with no. I mean, here's why. This can't be the only podcast that has like a duplicate name.
Oh, certainly.
Like it's not the only
yeah, that's fair.
And I think like at the end of the day, we didn't know about Ari Manis and his podcast, so fuck him.
We write a letter. The dear Ari. Loved the show. But we like the name more. Yeah. So give it to us.
he's like on TV and stuff. Like he's got other shit.
Is he?
You know? Yeah.
Actually, did you look him up?
He's got a Let's look up Ari Manis's IMDb.
He's a comedian. Well,
is he a comedian?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we need to do. He's in Metalheads, whatever that is. America's Court with Judge Ross.
What?
The Master of Pulpits.
One more time.
The Master of Pulpits.
Oh. Okay.
That's funny. Here's what we do. This podcast gets famous enough that we do an unlicensed therapy.
Oh my God. We double up
episode.
So unlicensed therapy hosts unlicensed therapy.
That's exactly right.
Oh my God.
We do one big therapy session with Ari Manis.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We really have to do our work, our dirty work. He has like 500,000 subscribers.
Oh shit.
Yeah, remember when I said marginally famous? I'm significantly more famous. Like on Apple Podcasts, he has 1.4 thousand ratings, and it's 5 stars.
Uh-huh.
But we're not, which is my next call to action. If you listen to this fine, fine show, and you appreciate what we do, and you want us to keep making it, go to your podcast listening app platform. Give us a good old rating. It doesn't have to be 5 stars. I'm not begging for perfection here. Well, you know, give us a rating. It'll help boost the visibility, turns out.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
And then unless you're Ari Manis's lawyer. Although we're not making money off of this, so there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah, we're not making money on the name.
Checkmate.
We're doing this for free. Get fucked.
Goods and or services not rendered.
No.
We're
also.
Yes, go ahead.
What I noticed is that so the podcast I was listening to today, Mabim Bam, my brother and me.
Good podcast. Great podcast. If you don't listen to the McElroys.
Amazing. Go listen to the McElroys.
Go listen to McElroys. They're podcast staples.
Yeah. Mabim Bam is like this show, except far more wealthy. They have a lot more money into that.
Everybody else
being sponsorships.
More famous more and richer than we are.
Ain't that the truth? But I realized that they have a lot of guests on their show. It turns out that most podcasts just get a new guest every week.
Uh huh. Yeah. I don't feel like most podcasts. Some podcasts.
Well, some. A considerable amount do interviews and such. And like we've had our fair share. We've had two and a half.
Yeah, I have.
Thomas came on twice. So everybody that's listening, tweet at us, Instagram, comment, DM, email, pick your medium. Who do you want us to get that you want to hear on the pod? I don't care who it is. I'll interview anybody. It could be your neighbor, John.
Wait, I love the idea of writing like Tom Hanks's agent and being like, hey, do you want to be on a podcast?
But that's the thing, dude. Okay, hear me out. If we write a good enough email and we have the right contact for the right person, they might be like, oh, it's just another appearance, and they won't do their due diligence and research it, and then we'll land like Woody Harrelson, who will have to talk to us for an hour while we babble like idiots.
That would be the most uncomfortable hour of my life. I think
I would get so into it. Like I would just shoot right past uncomfortable and try to make him uncomfortable. Right? Like almost like the Eric Andre show where he tries to make his guests feel as unwelcome.
It's funny, but I can only watch it for so long before I'm the secondhand awkwardness is just too much for me. Actually, that's a funny thing because I have this same secondhand awkwardness when like I'm listening to a podcast, like a lesser known podcast, and they have a really famous person on, and I'm also feeling like the famous person doesn't want to be there, and I'm like, this is kind of awkward.
Ooh.
No, we can we can make this happen. So, well, who do you think, like, with, like, say we do this podcast for 5 years or whatever, like, who, what do you think our level of success with getting a famous, like, minor league baseball pitcher or, like,
I mean, if we do it for 5 years and we see, like, at least consistent growth,
yeah,
right, I feel like we would be big enough where we could swing like a B-list actor, you know, that does like character actors or just characters, nothing ever like superstar amazing.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, no, I'm shooting for the moon. I feel like we could get like Thomas Middleditch.
That's pretty high.
I know. But I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, people. Get us, everybody, do everything in your power. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your dog about this show.
Your dog, currently the most famous person we would have on would be your dog.
That would be cool. If we had a dog that was vocal enough, I think that could make for a really funny podcast.
I've just had a great idea.
Oh?
We fundraise until we can afford an hour's worth of cameos. And
and then we can get whoever we want. We can get The Rock.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as long as we can afford their rate on Cameo.
So on Cameo, we just ask them a question.
Yeah.
That we would ask on the podcast.
Yeah.
And just edit them in and pretend like we had them on the show.
Right. Well, there's 60 minutes in an hour, right? And say like a cameo is $30 for a minute cameo. It's only $1,800. That's real. That's like a realistic amount of money where this person would have to commit an hour of their time. And at that point, they might as well just be on the show and let us talk for half of it.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but I almost like my idea better, where we host the podcast and we say, oh, we have so-and-so on the podcast. And we just pay for however many cameos it takes to basically, you know, have them answer all of our questions in a almost seamless fashion.
God, that's so funny. That's actually hilarious. And then, like, after we think they could talk for about a minute, we, like, either ask a qualifier to the question or sort of just affirm the question in the next cameo so they have to keep talking.
Exactly.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then that can be our big break, like Unlicensed Therapy feat. Hold on, let me find somebody on Cameo.
Is Thomas Middleditch on Cameo? I doubt it.
I don't know. He doesn't seem like the time.
Yeah, probably.
He's not.
Let's see. Let's see who like the first person on Cameo is. No, this is a fantastic. Wow, Cameo is so much more expensive than I thought it was.
Yeah. What the heck, man?
My goodness. We might have to raise a little bit more money. Oh, there's some people that are very affordable, actually.
Yeah. Let's see. Who would be a big enough name? Who's from SNL that we could get? Holy shit.
Some of these like feel really sort of self-jaded to me. Like Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, from the band Motley Crue, is charging
really?
Is charging from $625. Like,
what? For how long?
That's what I'm saying. Is like, I don't feel like Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. Like, I don't feel like if you got my voicemail and it was Tommy Lee, you'd be like, oh my God, that's Tommy Lee. Like, that's not worth $600.
Yeah, geez, Louise, man.
No personalized video for you or someone else.
Here we go. This is going to be expensive, Andreas, but for $700...
Per what?
Honestly, I don't know. It doesn't say if there's a limit. For $700 per cameo, we could get Tom Felton, the actor who does Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter.
Nice.
So if you have like, I feel like we could get this done with like $7,000. I think 10 cameos is significant enough to fake having him as a guest on the podcast.
God, that would be so funny. We like write a script. We write a script.
God, that would be so awesome. This might be the greatest heist of all time.
It might be.
Effectively stealing somebody's voice.
At some point you run into legal issues, right? Like where you start editing absolutely around the person talking and making them.
Absolutely you do. This could get you in a world of trouble, but would it be funny and worth it?
See, maybe. Actually, hold on.
As long as we don't like completely bash them and make them look like a complete fool, I think we should be fine.
I would almost bet that that's in Cameo's terms of service. Terms of, you know what I'm saying.
Well, you can get business cameos.
What I think would be funny is like you cause this issue with Cameo and it sort of becomes viral and then they have to come onto a second episode to explain themselves. And then you've doubled your money.
You've doubled your screen time with Tom Felton.
I was going to transition like 10 minutes ago. We've been talking.
I know, but I got so sidetracked on this idea. It's so good. So yeah, let us know who you want on the podcast. We'll get them.
I think even like a shittier version of this idea is if you marketed your podcast as like Unlicensed Therapy featuring Emma Stone. And then you just like put the 1 minute cameo somewhere in the episode and they're just never on the episode.
We wouldn't technically be wrong. It did feature Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Just not like as a whole guest. We would go broke so fast.
Super fast.
Oh, boy. Well, Andreas, how do you feel about answering some questions?
Yeah, let's do that. Solve people's problems.
All right. So, I tweeted out earlier asking everybody for your questions. I said, ask us anything, but today's question focus was like loose philosophy and like existence, you know? Something to really make your brain hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe scare you into like an existential crisis. Who knows? Last episode on that tweet, we had at Lardo Boofs wrote, "How do I know if my coworkers are as conscious as I am and that I'm not being trapped in a simulation?" This is one of my favorite like concepts in philosophy is this idea of consciousness.
Yeah.
And if humans have an equal consciousness, like how do I know apart from you saying you do that you have the same level of consciousness and understanding of the world that I do?
That's true.
There's no possible way. We can go at length to share ideas and concepts, but we will never know if you perceive like the color red the same way I do.
Oh, well, first of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I have no experience in this field. So this is all speculation, but I don't think it's possible to have the exact same consciousness. Like, I think that is an impossibility, right? Because there's no way that we perceive the world in exactly the same way in any or every aspect.
Right.
But
so then,
yeah.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I tweeted out another question, kind of a follow-up, which actually ties in really nicely, which is, can you really experience anything objectively? Which 80% of people voted no, which I completely agree with. Everything you have ever looked at or experienced or know to be true has been a subjective experience. Every part of anything you've ever done has been because of something else.
You're seeing it through the lens of your worldview and your experiences. So I guess the question would be, how close can a person get to true objectivity when analyzing a situation or like seeing the world, right? Which I don't know.
Right. But by thinking in such a way, that's a subjective experience.
Oh, totally. Totally.
So how do you know that you're not trapped in a simulation? Bummer. We will never know. Because there's a pretty good chance we are, but there's an equally good chance that we're not.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I guess, approaching it from a therapy point of view, because I'm no scientist. I don't understand metaphysics and simulations. But what I do understand is sort of, you do kind of just have to live in the moment and not think about it, right? Because you will drive yourself crazy considering this.
You can't think too big.
And at the end of the day,
you have to wrangle it.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, like setting aside belief in religion, your life doesn't change that much if that turns out to be true at the end of the day.
That's true.
I mean, you're still here doing what you're doing. Feeling what you're feeling.
Yeah, but then comes the problem of free will. Like, if we are trapped in a simulation, do we have free will, or are we just doing what we are told to do but not realizing it? Do you see what I mean?
That was the most tangible silence that's ever been on this podcast.
I could see the gears in your brain turning and like starting to smoke a little bit.
I mean, we could make 5 years of this podcast just talking about this question, right?
Oh, 100%. I think that's why I wanted to do an episode like this, is because it's so wildly interesting to me.
It is. It is fascinating.
Why so many people throughout history have asked the same question.
Yeah. And there's research. There's legitimate reviewed, edited research that suggests that it is more possible and more likely that we could be in a simulation, and that those possibilities exist. And all of these hypotheses have been posed and looked at and analyzed. And we don't know, and we won't know. At least we won't know from the point of view that we exist right now.
Yeah, unless we can. It's the Matrix. Unless we can break the simulation, we'll never know otherwise. So, sorry, Lardo. You may or may not be more conscious than those around you, and you're probably stuck in a simulation.
But it's your simulation.
But it's your simulation, you know?
Isn't that sweet? That I don't know if we gave advice there.
So. No, there's no. We were just bringing reality into... Or
is
what
it real?
We perceive as reality into the light.
Listen, if this is a simulation, it means we're not any less famous than Thomas Middleditch.
Holy shit, we're not. Moving forward, Royboy140 writes, how do you... This is not quite philosophy. It could get there. Depends on your perspective. How do you combat overthinking to an unhealthy capacity? Don't think about whether you're trapped in a simulation. It's probably a good start.
That would be a good start.
Because if you think about that, like Andrea said, you'll drive yourself crazy. Secondly, I don't have a great answer for this because my brain won't let me overthink things. Because once I start overthinking things, it shuts down and I go into like this stasis of non-thought for a good period of time. So I'm not going to be much help on this one.
Yeah. So I think I can definitely suffer from this, where you sort of, you start to spiral into thinking about one bad thing that could happen, say for example, and you sort of just think about all of the results and all of the things that can happen as a result of that thing happening. And I think the biggest thing is when you notice that happening, when you notice yourself overthinking, you have to have some sort of way to ground yourself. And that grounding mechanism can be as simple as picking up your water bottle and taking a sip of water and focusing exclusively on that, to a thought out and well-considered strategy for grounding yourself when you're overthinking. Because when you're doing that, you need something else to distract your mind, but you need something that's more than just a thought or something else to think about, because that's not going to work. Your brain is working overtime to fight you on that. So you need something that you've predetermined for yourself that you know works, that will take you out of that overthinking spiral. And maybe it's maybe you have a mantra that you can type out in the notes section of your phone, or like I said, maybe you can take a sip of water or do some sort of predetermined process that requires brain power and energy to take you away from the death spiral.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
My one question on that is, at what point do you recognize that you are in this death spiral, that you can actively, implement this strategy?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, because you don't always necessarily notice you're overthinking, right? Or at least I don't. I mean, my experience, but I do recognize when I'm getting stressed or when I'm feeling stressed. And I think talking it out can help sometimes you don't even have to talk out the thing that you're overthinking, but just saying words out loud to another person can help you start to come back to a normal state. Because when you're overthinking, you start to go nuclear, right? And you're like, oh God, everything's bad. And then it gets worse. And then the bad thing's going to happen, and that's going to have bad implications. And so I think like having someone to talk to can be good, even if it's not about the thing you're overthinking about. Being locked in your brain can be bad for long periods of time if you have anxiety.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, you don't always notice it, and you won't. And I think it's something that lots of people struggle with. And so,
would you say that having routine helps?
Oh, definitely. I would think.
Okay.
I like personally, I think that it helps. And when I start to get locked into this stress anxiety thing, it's because I'm bored or I don't have anything else going on. Mm-hmm. And so then I start to notice it. Or it becomes more prominent, because when I'm working or when I'm recording a podcast or doing whatever, I'm not thinking about it. So
right.
Staying busy, keeping a routine, staying active, I would think. Exercise not only occupies your body, but it can be something else to focus on, because when I'm exhausted from running a 5K, I'm not thinking about being stressed about whatever I'm stressed about.
Right. Yeah, that's really good advice. Honestly,
yeah.
If I ever, like I said, I don't often get to the point of overthinking, because the way my brain works, I just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always overthinking.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. ADHD is a bitch.
listen to our podcast.
Yeah, listen to our podcast. That's a great way to distract your mind.
It's an hour of Your brain might shut off if you listen to us for an hour. It might just stop working.
That's true. Use this podcast as a hard reset for the brain.
Yeah. Cool. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Good question. Thank you.
Good question.
All right. We got one more that I want to cover, because I think it'll be more or less quick. This is kind of piggybacking off of last episode where we're kind of talking about work. And this comes from @ThomasIsStrange, aka Thomas, who was our guest last week. And he asks, got any tips for staying motivated and energized during a hard day's work? Take breaks. Do not overwork yourself. The way I get through my day is twice an hour. Like every half hour, I stand up, I walk around, like I refill my water bottle. I just take a lap around the office, or, I stop looking at what I'm actually doing for work, and I just like take 2 minutes to look at my phone or to read something on Reddit, just to break up the day.
Yeah.
And it's not like on a hard schedule either, but it's just like I have this repetitive almost tick of like, okay, I've worked for this long. Let me take a break. Let me reset my brain. Because if I stare at this too long, then everything explodes and I'll be actually less efficient.
Definitely that. So I think it's easy to get into work mode, right? And just go, go, mm-hmm. go while you're feeling productive. If you do that until the brain fog sets in and you start getting the overexhaustion, it's too late. Then you're done for the rest of the day, and it'll be hard to snap out of that. So take breaks before you think you need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if that means just, like I said, grab a water, go outside, smell a single flower, listen to 5 minutes of your favorite podcast hosted by Peter and Andreas.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many options out there.
Sometimes if I have phone calls to make, I won't make them all at once. So I'll work for a bit and then make a phone call.
100%.
And work for a bit and make a phone call.
I hate phone calls. I hate making calls. I hate phone calls with a burning passion.
Yeah.
And like, unfortunately, that means I usually put them off for like, if it's not urgent, days at a time. So then, once a week, I am shooting myself because it's like, all right, I have like 8 calls to make today, and I really don't want to do it, but I know if I don't, it'll only get worse. So don't be like me. Make the call, and then go for a walk.
Make the call, go for a walk, work a little bit, break up your activities.
Yeah.
Take some notes.
Draw.
Doodle while you're on the phone?
Yeah. I couldn't. I would split my focus and I would be gone.
Peter, thank you for podcasting with me this week. This has been a great episode 9 to our podcast, which we are now competing against the other unlicensed therapy podcast. So we have to be on our best game.
We got to be on our best game. We have some ground to make up. But Ari, we're coming. We're coming. And as soon as we feel comfortable enough to invite you to be a guest on our podcast, we expect the same from you. It'll be like a standoff.
We could do like a Western trade. Street. We could do like a little trade.
Oh my God, where he hosts ours and we host his?
Yeah.
I'm in.
I know nothing about this guy. He could be the coolest guy on the planet or like...
Yeah, honestly, not a clue. I might have to listen just to see what it's all about. But anyway... Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Unlicensed Therapy. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Unlicensed Show or on Instagram at Unlicensed Therapy Show. Give us likes, comments, retweets. Yell at us in any fashion you desire. Tell us who you want on the podcast. Tell us what questions you want us to answer.
Hit us up with those 6-letter license plates.
Yeah, hit me with some 6-letter license plates, because I'm running dry on ideas. Goose just popped into my head. There's a goose in my room.
B-O-O-S-E. Statue. It'd have to be goose.
Goose. Well, it has 6 maximum. It could be fewer, but
oh, can it? Oh,
yeah.
That's less funny.
Anyway, have a wonderful day, morning, or night, whatever time you're listening. And goose.
Goose.
Goose.